You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 13, Episode 5 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This season, we're focusing on various social issues, those topics that impact our society, are debated in society and among people that we interact with. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about gender roles. So let's get started. When we talk about gender roles, what we're talking about are the responsibilities that men have as men and the responsibilities that women have as women. So they are distinct and separate from one another. Most of the instructions that we find in the Bible are not specific to gender. The instruction to worship God in spirit and in truth has nothing to do with whether you're a man or a woman. All of us have been called to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so most instructions in the Bible are for all people, regardless of whether someone is a man or a woman. But there are some instructions in the Bible that are specifically for either men or women. And so when we look at this from a biblical perspective, what we will see is that there is a difference between what a man's role is and what a woman's role is. But in our society, many people want to take that away and say that there aren't any specific gender roles. There are many people who will claim that there's no difference between what a man can do and what a woman can do. And in some ways, that, you know, as far as ability, that might be true. Other ways, as far as biology, that's not going to be true. But when we think about this idea that many people want to have no distinction between the responsibilities that exist between men and women. And on the extreme of this issue, you have some people argue for feminism or feminist ideology. And when we think about feminism, what we are really looking at is not just, well, there needs to be no difference between roles of men and women. There's also, when you go down that path, what you will often see is that those who adopt this idea of feminism also embrace abortion, they embrace lesbianism, they're hostile toward males, to even to the point where whenever there's an accusation of sexual assault, that, well, we must assume that the man is guilty. Well, oftentimes that may be the case, but it's not always the case. And so you have an antagonism or hostility toward males by those who will go down that extreme of feminism. Now, not everyone who has different ideas about gender roles and believes that there's no difference, not everyone who believes that is a feminist. And so I want to make that distinction. But there is confusion, and there are different ideas out there, and we need to be able to understand what is going on in society as far as the different ideas about gender roles, and then go back to what the Bible says and be reminded what God has said about these things. And so to start with, think about some statistics that illustrate where our society has gone in this regard. And the links to these are going to be in the show notes. But some of the statistics that we can notice is that, number one, women make up approximately 47% of the workforce in the United States. Now, we're not going to go to the Bible to say that it's always wrong for a woman to work outside the home. That's not the point of this. But the reality is, when you have that high of a percentage, it reflects this idea that if it's almost 50% of women in the workforce, that means that there is a large segment of the population that believes there is no difference between what a man can do and what a woman can do. Related to this, the number of what's called stay-at-home dads in the United States has more than doubled from 2001 to 2011, when the statistics were, one of the statistics that I found on that. In that 10-year period, the number of stay-at-home dads where the father would stay at home with the kids and the mother would go out and work in the workforce and earn a living for the family, that number doubled, more than doubled in 10 years. And also in the religious realm, the number of so-called clergy women in the United States grew from 2.3% in 1960, meaning of all the ones labeled as clergy, religious leaders, in 1960, 2.3% of them were women. In 2017, that number increased tenfold to 20.7%. And so one in five pastors or preachers or ministers or priests or whatever distinction is made in the different churches of who that person is who is in that position, one in five in the religious world today are women. And I don't have a statistic on this, but I know anecdotally, based on my experience, I have noticed that in my writing and the teaching that I do, but mostly in the writing, not so much in preaching, but in writing, one of the topics that receives the most criticism, especially from fellow Christians, is the difference between the roles of men and women. I'm not sure I know the answer to why that is, but the number one is probably the use of alcohol. But then number two would be the roles of men and women. That is not from unbelievers. This is from Christians. And that is something that I've noticed over the years, that when I address those topics, I'm more likely to get pushback than on any other topic. So that's kind of where we are, and that's the influence that we see in society, how it creeps into the church. Now, what does the Bible say about this? What, when we see the trend and the direction that society is going, is that a problem? Is that something that is contrary to what the Bible teaches? Well, back in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, we see that God made male and female to complement one another. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the sky, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. In the beginning, when God created male and female, he created them to complement one another. It was not good that man was alone. He needed someone else, not another animal. Not the animals. That wouldn't work. That wouldn't help him in the way that he needed. Not another man, but God created a woman. And as we look later in the next chapter in the book of Genesis, we see that men are given the responsibility of being the providers and the protectors of the household. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, God said to Adam, "Because you listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul told Timothy that if one will not provide for his own, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. There is a responsibility for the husband to be the provider. Ephesians 5 talks about the husband needing to be a protector for the wife. Husbands, in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. In verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Responsibility for the husband toward the wife is that he provide for her, that he protect her, that he treat her as himself, as his own body. And then women, their role then is to be the helpers and the nurturers. Again, she was created, Eve was created in the beginning as a helpmeet. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, in pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. There is headship that is talked about there, that the husband would be the head over the wife, that he would rule over her, and your desire will be for your husband. This is talked about, the role of the woman is talked about in detail in Proverbs chapter 31. And we won't take time to read all of this. I have written an article on Proverbs 31. I'll include the link in the show notes for this article so you can see that. But in Proverbs chapter 31, when you read through verses 10 through the end of the chapter, you have a picture that's given of the virtuous woman or the excellent wife. And what is said of her is that her worth is far above jewels. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. All of these verses and this description of this woman in Proverbs 31 is describing one who is there to support her husband, to help her family, to focus on those needs that exist in that sphere. And in Titus chapter 2, Paul told Titus that the older women were to teach something to the young women. And it has to do with this sphere, this responsibility, this obligation that they have within the home as helpers and nurturers in the home. Titus 2 and verse 4, the older women are to encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. We've got an article that I wrote on that passage as well, and I'll have that linked in the show notes if you want to look at that in more detail. But notice what it says here about what the older women were to teach the young women, that they are to love their husbands, love their children, they are to be workers at home. That is where their responsibility was. And going back to a passage that we noticed, Ephesians chapter 5, men and women have different roles in different areas of life. And Ephesians chapter 5 is talking about in the home. And in Ephesians chapter 5, when you have husbands and wives, Paul says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. There is headship in the home, and who is the head? It's the husband. The wife submits to the husband. Now, this doesn't give the husband permission to be a dictator or to be abusive or anything like that. We already saw how he is to be a provider and a protector and one who, like Christ, was willing to give up his life for the church. That's what a husband ought to be willing to do too. That's his responsibility. And the wife's responsibility is to submit to him as he is the head of the household. You look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you have in the church, in that sphere, there is a difference between roles of men and women. 1 Corinthians 14:34, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but to subject themselves, just as the law also says. We saw earlier that the number of clergy women multiplied by tenfold since 1960 till about 2017. So you have that growing. Well, that Paul, what he said hasn't changed. He wrote this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Women are to keep silent in the churches. And something similar to that, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness, for I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet." In the church, there is a difference between what men and women can do as far as their roles. 1 Timothy 3, we could go to that passage where it talks about elders in the church, those who are overseeing the church, they are men. How do we know that they're men? The husband of one wife. There's a difference between men and women. And also in society, this is a general principle that is going to be true. In Proverbs chapter 31, that passage about the virtuous woman, what does it say about her and her husband? Proverbs 31 and verse 23, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." He was in a position that he was looked up to by the society that was there. He was in a position of leadership, of being one who would show guidance to the town, to the city. Well, how is he able to be in that position? Because she's taking care of the household. She's taking care of those responsibilities, so he's able to take care of the things outside of the home. This is how God created men and women to complement one another. But an important point that we need to understand over in Galatians chapter 3, because some people will, when we talk about this, they'll get defensive or they'll misunderstand what we're saying or what the Bible is teaching. And they'll say, "Well, you're just saying that women are inferior or that men are better than women or something of that nature." But the Bible teaches that despite the fact that men and women have different roles, males and females are equal in the eyes of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, Paul said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now when he says there's neither male or female, he's not saying that, well, there's no difference in roles between male and female, because we've seen that there are. But here, what he's talking about are those who, verse 26, can be sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Those who, in verse 27, can be baptized into Christ and enclose themselves with Christ. This is for those who would be children of God, those who would be saved by Christ. Anyone can be saved. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're slave or free, and it doesn't matter if you're male or female. In terms of salvation and the value of one's soul, everyone's equal. Male and female are equal. And so we want to make sure we understand that point. But the bottom line, when we think about where our society is and what our society promotes as far as gender and the roles of men and women, many in our society want to believe that there is no difference between males and females with regard to their roles and responsibilities. Yet we can look to the Bible and see that while men and women are equal, God has given different roles to each in the church, in the home, and generally in society. And we need to follow what God has said and respect His word in this, rather than following after what the world says.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
Last week I mentioned that one of the books that I've written is on sale right now. It's a book called The Real Pharisees. The Pharisees were a group that we read about in the Bible, and many people will just automatically think of the Pharisees as being wrong, and they were often condemned by Jesus, but what people misunderstand are the reasons why they were condemned by Jesus, why they were wrong. It's important that we understand why they were wrong so that we don't become like the Pharisees today. I think too many people, they have a misunderstanding about why they were wrong. And so they accuse certain people of being Pharisees, when oftentimes you could turn that around because they missed the definition and the problem with the Pharisees, and they are actually the ones who are being more Pharisaical than the ones they accuse of that. But this book goes into a discussion of the Pharisees and what the Bible has to say about them, because we want to learn from people like that, because we don't want to be condemned as they were. And so there's a sale going on right now for almost another week until the 10th. And so you can get that book at a special price if you order from the Gospel Armory online store. There's a link in the show notes. You can find that at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast, and there'll be a link there along with all the other links that I mentioned in the episode. Next week, we're going to continue talking about social issues, and we're going to spend some time talking about racism. Until then, I hope you have a great week.